Let me just say this. I don't really come from an improv background.
Yes, what? You do. Come on.
Really?
You and Fred Willard started together way back in the day.
Not really. I wasn't at Second City. I didn't do any of that stuff. I'm not good when it comes to improv.
Ace Trucking Company? You were not part of the Ace Trucking Company?
I don't even know what that is.
No, it's an improv group.
Okay. So I'm just putting that out there. So it's not my fault if this sucks.
It doesn't suck. Here's the genius.
Right?
You don't watch the news.
Right.
Because you're a kid.
Because I'm a kid.
And sometimes there's things that most of us know, and I'll throw it to you to fill in the blanks, and the stuff that you come up with is better than the actual news itself.
It's a lot of
pressure. It's like playing Mad Libs with you, and we love when Kevin Mad Libs the news.
Kevin Mad Libs the news. Oh, what will he say?
Kid. So we're going to talk about some big news stories, and Kevin, all you need to do is fill in the blanks.
All right. Good luck to all of us.
Big-time actress got in trouble with the conservatives in America by saying once she became an American citizen, she thought maybe she made a terrible mistake. Even Fox and Friends told her maybe she should leave Hollywood. That actress, of course, Kevin was.
Kicked out of Hollywood.
Her name is...
It's the actress
that who is
got kicked out of Hollywood.
Right, and her name is?
Barbara Stanton. I don't know who that... Is that somebody?
Do you know?
I don't have any idea what that means. Is that a person?
Barbara Stanwyck was a famous actress.
Well, maybe that's
back
who knows? Look, I don't know where it came from.
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt
was
right.
The actress who got in trouble.
She's the star of Blunt Talk.
Fox. Nope, she's not in Blunt Talk at all.
All right.
She's in that new movie. About
chances he went to elementary school with a Barbara Stanton.
The Republican debate, of course, was on the other night. A lot of politicians up on that stage, and insiders are saying it was Carly Fiorina who came out looking the best at the end of the night. She's best known, of course, as the former chief executive officer of
Europe.
The famous company.
Amazon.
Hewlett-Packard.
HP.
HP is, right. her big claim to fame. The Queen of England in the
news
this week. No, it's not. We're not playing yet.
Oh.
Queen of England in the news this week. Of course, she resides in Buckingham Palace there in the UK. But Her Majesty is now going to have a home here in the United States. She just bought a condo in...
the middle of Utah? Honestly, I don't...
The middle of Utah. Not just Utah.
Not even...
Right dead center in the state there.
And not a city, oddly enough.
No, she's got a big condo she just bought in Chicago. She's going to be living in Chicago when she comes to the state. She's got a full-time residency in Chicago.
That's great because she travels well being 105.
Sad news, of course, are the hundreds and thousands of Syrians that are traveling the refugee highway en route to safer climates in Europe and other countries. Horrible what's going on in Syria right now. They are fleeing, of course, from a Syrian president.
Muhammad al-Sani. I know there's an Al-San in it. Muhammad Al-San.
Bashar al-Assad. Bashar al-Assad.
Well, give me that, though, right?
No!
You just set up for a bow!
That's a get!
You put your arms out, you were going to bow!
That's a point!
No!
That's close. It's
not a point. There's no points awarded, by the way.
I didn't realize that.
This at all.
Wrong.
A lot of movie fans, of course, were saddened recently at the news that Dean Jones, star of many classic family films, had passed away. He died at 84 years old, big part of a lot of people's childhoods. He was, of course, a standout in such Disney movies as...
The Pink Fruit Mountain. Look, that's what you get when you tell me to say what comes to my mind.
He was not the star of The Pink Fruit Mountain.
That was a good movie, though.
That was a great movie,
but
Dean Jones was not the star of that. He was in such films as The Love Bug, The Shaggy D.A., That Darn Cat.
Right.
He was originally cast in The Pink Fruit Mountain, but apparently had to step down due to illness. So that
right.
was sad. Pope Francis, of course, has been
Philadelphia.
Has been touring the United States in cities like Philadelphia. But starting on Saturday, he'll be traveling abroad, going to the country of?
Argentina?
Cuba. He'll be in Cuba.
Why do you say? She was giving me credit for that. Is it right?
No.
Argentina? You looked at me like, hey, you got one right.
He'll be in Cuba starting on Saturday.
Cuba, right.
And lastly, big news, which saddened many Trekkers. The latest Star Trek movie has been pushed back and released by Paramount, the studio said. The film, directed by Justin Lin, is now set for a later release in July on the 22nd. Title of the new film is Star Trek.
Do I have to say what came to my mind?
Yes. Yes.
Captain Kirk is fat. I didn't want to say it. You made me say it.
The new film, Star
Trek. Is that the name of it?
Captain Kirk is fat. Will be out July 22nd, 2016. The other title they're working on may be Star Trek Beyond, maybe the title of the next Star Trek show.
That's what I meant.
Once again, Kevin fills in the blanks. Mm. Thanks for mad-libbing the news.
Kevin, mad-libs the news. Oh, what will he say?
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
Earlier this morning, we did a grand prize drawing to send a Kevin and Bean listener to Chicago for Lollapalooza to see Alabama Shakes and Paul McCartney and Florence and the Machine and so much more. That winner's name was...
Mason Eng. Mason Eng.
From Valencia?
From... Stop that. From Valencia.
Oh.
How'd you know? That's impressive. Thank you, Mason. Appreciate you listening. Congratulations. Enjoy your time in Chicago. We are up next on road trip number 2 of KROQ's Road Trip USA 2015, and this is the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas with Death Cab for Cutie and Major Lazer, Kendrick Lamar, Imagine Dragons, Snoop Dogg, Weezer, so much more. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to qualify coming up at 9 o'clock this morning.
We talk a lot about stupid people in Florida, but they're everywhere. They're in Texas as well. Mm-hmm. And this next story is unbelievable. And that is two guys in Texas. One guy saw an alligator, and there was a sign that said, hey, by the way, alligators will kill you, so don't interact with them. And he yelled, F that alligator, and he jumped in.
Yes, we covered this last – there's an update on this story. We covered this last week on Death Corner about the guy who originally jumped into the swamp and got killed by an alligator. And yes, you're right, Kevin. His last words were, F the alligators.
Right.
He took off his shirt, he took his wallet out, and he jumped into the water and almost immediately started screaming for help as he got dragged down by a 10-foot alligator in the bayou. And by the way, not only were there posted signs that said, no swimming, alligators – the people who work there at the marina, they said to the man, do not go swimming. There are alligators in the water. Stay out of the water. I mean, they gave him every possible warning. He ignored them all. He got taken down by an alligator. By the way, it is the first person killed in Texas by an alligator in 179 years. So you got to be really stupid in Texas to be killed by an alligator. You got to make every possible wrong decision to be killed by an alligator, right?
I feel like we're better off as a society without
that guy.
Yeah, that was Darwinism in action.
Correct.
That was Tommy Woodward, 28 years old. So we told you about that last week. That guy got eaten by an alligator, right? Now, Kevin, you want to pick up what happens next?
Well, his friend, to get revenge, killed that alligator because that alligator killed his friend.
Now,
what?
To get revenge.
It wasn't.
He had it coming.
It wasn't the alligator's fault that a man jumped into his pool, was it?
Well, no, of course not. But his friend didn't see it that way, Bean. His friend's name is Bear, by the way.
Just for the record.
Yeah. I think this is a real story. I'm not positive. Now, as we say it out loud, it sounds fake.
It is a real story. Right. Bear told the Houston Chronicle the alligator had to go. That's what happens when you kill someone. But I do have a lot of unanswered questions. So we asked Dave, can we get Bear on the phone? And I believe we have him on the line right now. Hi, Bear.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Well, we're doing fine. And I'm sorry for your loss of your friend Tommy. That must have been very tough for you.
Tommy! I miss you, bro.
Yeah. Right. But look,
I miss Tommy.
Right.
Forgive me if it's too soon, but he jumped into an alligator pit, and he was told that there were alligators. Well, he kind of
don't mean that gator had no right to kill him.
That's what it means specifically.
Exactly.
No, don't, man.
But wasn't he kind of asking for it?
If I come to your house, do you just have right to kill me?
Well, no, but this is different.
It's not different.
Okay, but if
when you kill someone, it's an eye for an eye, man. Eye for an eye, and it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
What? Okay, I'm not sure how that's...
Stitching time saves nine.
All right, now you're just saying things, Bear. All right, so tell me what happened. Tell me about when you got the idea, hey, I'm going to seek revenge for my friend Tommy.
Well, Tommy got eaten and killed by a gator.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's when I got the idea that I would seek revenge.
Okay.
But don't you think Tommy had it coming because he jumped in with the gator?
Don't give him no right to kill nobody.
All right. So how did you kill the alligator?
I shot him.
Oh, you shot him. Okay, so you didn't get into the water and wrestle him or anything like that. You just shot him from the shore like a pussy.
No, I got in the water, and I wrestled him, and then he started to grab for my gun, and that's when I turned the gun on him, and then I shot him. It was self-defense.
It was self-defense.
We're struggling for the gun.
In the water.
Hey! Hey, you alligator! Come here! That's the alligator that cut me off in traffic! Hey, I know you! You gotta go!
Oh, come on, bear!
Yeah! That's what you get for cutting me off in traffic, alligator.
Wow, but Bear, what is your situation with alligators?
Hey! Hey, that's an alligator I saw jaywalking the other day. Come here, alligator.
Well, don't hurt the alligator. Oh.
He had to go.
You don't have to kill someone just for jaywalking.
Well, he should have thought that before he jaywalked.
So you are just the law. You're just the judge and the jury and the executioner,
yeah,
right?
Judge Gator.
Judge Gator.
Come
okay.
in!
Maybe you shouldn't have weapons.
I miss you, Tommy.
Bear, what about the fact that you face a potential...
Hey, an alligator that slept with my girlfriend.
I'm sorry, an alligator that. Slept with...
Well, he's gone now.
Yeah.
Sure are a lot of alligators where you are this morning, Bear.
That might have been a man. That might have been my bad.
You're going to have to confess to Petros, by the way, yeah. that you're being sucked into the cult of the Bachelor in Paradise.
I'm not sure I am, though.
You had trouble turning away last night.
I mean,
sounds like...
I watched it for a while last night, and I couldn't finish. I got about right. halfway through, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to let Petros handle this.
Okay. But you see the appeal anyway.
Yes.
All right, a breakdown on this week's debut of Bachelor in Paradise with our friend Petros Papadakis. First, though, it's interesting. Kevin was so excited to bring us a poop story on the program today. and then I came back at him with, well, I've got my own poop story, so I think we've got dueling poop going on here right now, don't we? Kevin, you want to go first or you want me to?
It doesn't matter to me. I'll go first.
All right, go first.
Somebody is pooping in golf holes in Norway.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
Norway's Stavanger Golf Club has had this problem, here's my favorite part, for 10 years.
What?
Yay!
I saw the headline on this, and even though it was Norway, my beloved homeland, I did not click on it because I thought, what can there be to that story except there's a guy going around pooping in a golf course? But now you're telling me it's been going on for years?
A decade.
They have installed spotlights to try and, like, dissuade him from doing that, but he'll just disable them.
Yeah.
And then go poop in the hole.
A spotlight's not going to detour a hole pooper.
Now, why?
Right?
Why would... How come that happens?
I swear to God, I thought this happened like in the last week. This is not just some crazy guy who had to go and couldn't wait. This is a guy who obviously is intentionally inflicting poop on this golf course.
Yes. They have three guesses. One, they may have a fetish. Two, he suffers from mental problems. And by the way, it's a he, not a she, because of the size. According to the article.
Not because of DNA testing?
I don't think so.
That's sexist.
I don't think this... I don't know much about...
I'm telling you what it says in the article.
I say ladies can poop just as big as men. You take it back, Norway.
10 years.
Oh,
that is astonishing.
And the third reason that they think he might be doing this is because he really, really... And they said... This is the golf course. They said he really, really hates the game of golf.
Well...
That's their guess based on the fact that he's...
Which is insane. I mean, who does this for... And he has favorite holes, too, by the way. He doesn't spread it around equally. He's got certain holes that he really enjoys more than others.
Could it possibly...
I'm guessing number two. What?
Could it be a team of poopers? Like, he's enlisted friends, or she has enlisted friends? Because still, I don't buy it's a man.
I don't care if it's a man or a woman. If they have a team, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Right?
I love it so much.
You would be on Teen Poop?
Yep.
Teen Poop. Do you think that, and this would be one thing that I would investigate if I were the authorities here, it's somebody who is watching the golfers to see their reaction to coming across the poop in the holes? Like, I wonder
someone
if
someone that works there, maybe.
Or somebody who lives adjacent to the golf course or something like that. Because I always, you know, every time you watch like a CSI or something like that, they always are scanning the crowd at crime scenes to see if the perpetrator comes back to see the investigation.
Right.
I wonder if the person is looking to see, hey, what are they going to say when they get to hole 17 today?
But even if that's the case, I mean, don't you sort of get tired of it after, I don't know, 6 months, a year, 10 years?
That's awesome.
I strangely support this
you
guy.
Know there are a lot of meetings and, you know, desks and old people sitting around going, what? How do we catch? Why? What's happening? How do we catch him? How do we stop it?
So somewhere a man or woman wakes up and goes, well, I guess I'm going down to the golf course to poop again.
Feel like a whole five today.
This is malicious fecal distribution.
All right. So that is the Phantom Pooper in Norway. And I accept that. I think that is an outstanding contribution to the Dueling Poops. But I will come back at you with London, England's, actually in Suffolk, England. The Turdinator, ladies and gentlemen, is in the news.
Oh, he's got a name.
He's got a name.
The Turdinator is a citizen who has had it up to here with people not cleaning up their dog poop. So he has decided to do something about it. He dresses in camouflage and hides out in the bushes in the neighborhood waiting to pounce on careless owners that abandon their dog's poop. So, in other words, you're walking down the sidewalk and your little puppy does his business on the side of the road there and you walk away thinking no one sees you and boom, the Turdinator leaps out from the bushes. He explains his strategy to the BBC. If they don't clear up after their dog, I'll pop out of the hedge and say, excuse me, could you please clean up after your dog? You are being filmed. If you clean up, the film will be deleted straight away. But if not, you'll be posted on my Facebook page for people to identify, and then you will be reported to the police.
This guy's a superhero.
I was going to say, this is a new
Marvel.
He's a
superhero.
He is a superhero!
I just pooped.
It is trying to re-educate people and bring more pride back into the neighborhood, the man says. As well as hiding in bushes in full camouflage, he has been using water-based spray paint to scrawl clean it up messages on the paths, and he plans to use his upcoming 10 days of vacation time from work to ramp up his endeavors.
I was just going to ask, who's got that kind of time to sit in bushes and wait for people?
He's probably nights and weekends guy, and now when he's got the 2 weeks vacation coming up, he's going to go full time on trying to stop the poop in the neighborhood. He says, if I ever have to go to court to explain my actions, I will explain that if saving a child from dog poop in their eye and going blind through disease is what it takes, I'll do it. Is there some sort of thing that gets transferred? Is that how do you go blind if you touch dog poop? What's the story that this guy's referring to?
I'm not positive unless the kid is putting his eye down on the grass. I don't understand.
The visual I just saw was not okay, Kevin.
I've heard of – can you get pink eye from poop too, I think? Anyway, his plans have struck a chord with locals – who are fed up with stepping in dog poop, and apparently there's all sorts of support. So he's got all sorts of little Robins to his Batman that are keeping an eye out and really like full court press on these people who are not cleaning up after their dog poop. So I don't know. So you've got the Phantom Pooper in the Norway golf course, or you've got the Turdinator. Take your pick, but both great people doing great work. This time tomorrow morning, it should be the Bachelorette Report with the return of Ralph Garman and our friend Petros Papadakis. Later in the week, by the way, we'll catch up with Jim Rome, also Dr. Drew. We've got Chris Parnell on. He's in the new season of Rick and Morty. And Ian and Anthony from the Smosh movie are going to be joining us tomorrow as well. So a lot of good stuff coming up this week on the Kevin Mean Show on K-Rock.
We're going to talk about things that made you question you. Things that made you question yourself.
So this is beyond things that make you go, This is even past that, right?
Yes, this is because I make a lot of mistakes. Let's be honest. I'm sort of an idiot. Okay, fine. I'll admit it. I'm an idiot. Okay. But
everyone. No one was arguing with you, by the way, Kevin.
That was all you, Kevin. Yeah.
But we were giving it to you.
Okay. But every once in a while, something even for me and I happens, and I look at it and I go, wow.
And it concerns you.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're looking for those moments where you really have had to stop and reevaluate how good you are at life. And that's the call-in topic here at 1-800-520-1067. What happened that made you go, I am not a winner?
You did something that worries you about you.
Okay.
Friday.
What
happened? Friday after the show. I was tired. Hadn't slept much that week. Just thought, you know what? Taco Bell. I'm going to stop by Taco Bell on my way home. Mm-hmm. Drive through, sat there and waited for two or three cars, got to the window, ordered, fantastic, a number one, it's a taco and a burrito and a Diet Coke, fantastic, good. I pay the man my money, he gives me my stuff, I drive, and I finally get home. And it's probably a mile away, and now I'm home. Mm-hmm. And I look for the food, and I'm looking around the car. I'm like, I had the soda. I had the Diet Coke, but there's no food.
Huh.
There's zero food in the car. So basically, I paid, what, $6.73 or whatever it was for a Diet Coke and then drove off.
And so they handed you the drink, and you're like, that's enough.
Hey, thank you. And okay. I drove home. And they probably said, that guy will be back. So then I got home, and I realized I didn't have the food. So I was like, all right, well, I'll just have a Diet Coke. That's fine. I'll find something here to eat. So I get out of my car, and the very first thing I do is spill the Diet Coke completely. It's just 100% gone.
At least the only item you had from what you just paid for is now gone.
I had made the decision. You know what? You're not going to drive back and get it. You live with the Diet Coke because you're a bad person.
Okay.
I'm now my parent. I'm yelling at you. You're stupid, so that's on you. They get your money.
Did you then put your nose in the Diet Coke?
I should have.
Okay, yeah.
But then I dropped the Diet Coke, and that's when I thought, you know what? I'm a complete failure. Like, I really need – this is no way to run a life.
This is making me a little bit sad, by the
right?
way. Now. I thought this was going to be funny, but it's actually sad.
Every once in a while, you do something, or I do something, and I do this stuff all the time, so I'm sort of – no, I don't know that I didn't – I don't think we need that music.
I think we do.
I don't think. I feel like we don't
need
that. Go
ahead and talk it out.
Music. Everybody makes mistakes. I make more than my share.
Sure. How did you feel when you dropped the Diet Coke and you thought, that's it? That's all I have.
I had one thought, and that was, go back to Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of me said, no, you don't. You lose, sir.
Good day.
You get nothing. You go put yourself in bed, and you don't get any food, and they get your money. That's how this works. Now, walk on. I had a very stern conversation with myself.
I was very upset. Walk on is tough, man.
I was very upset. Like, oh, no. You don't get to get back in the car and go back and say you forgot your food. You just go get in bed, and that's how life is.
Dude, you were one step away from flogging yourself.
I'm just saying. There's got to be a point, right? I forgot the food and spilled the drink. I mean, so you were 100% fail.
Yeah, you were 0 for all.
Right. So I just went to bed. I went to bed without food.
You went to bed hungry. Hungry, thirsty, and sad is how you went to bed.
That's no way to live a life.
No.
I'll tell you that right now.
Did you cry?
No.
Really?
No.
It wasn't desperation.
No. It was just... wow, I hate being this stupid sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was more of a, hey, maybe you need to pay attention to what's going on around you a scotch more. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
A smidge. Maybe just pay attention a little. Maybe wait until the person in the drive-thru hands you the food
before you drive off. So a teachable moment. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you feel like things will be better going forward now?
Well, I mean, I hope.
Okay.
But no. I don't really think that's going to be the case.
All right. So we want to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have had a moment where something has happened or a series of things have happened and you thought, what am I doing with my life? Why am I not able to navigate in this world?
What is wrong with me?
What is my problem?
Yes.
The only thing I can think of, and I'm racking my brain because I'm sure that's happened to me a bunch of times too. The only thing I can think of that happened a couple of years ago is I pulled out of my driveway. I had to back up out of my driveway for some reason and ran into a bunch of rocks that lined the side of the driveway.
Right.
And
did the rocks move?
That's my point. The rocks didn't move at all. I somehow managed to back up and scrape the whole side of, you know, the door panel or whatever it was, or the part underneath the door panel against these rocks. Just a huge big gash against these rocks that ended up costing me like over $1,000 to get repaired.
Yeah,
$1,000.
See, in my world, I go, you know what? You're not repairing that.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
You're a dick.
Walk on.
Why don't you pay attention to where you're driving and walk on?
What I should have done is forget where I was going. I should have gotten out of the car, gone inside, and gone to bed hungry. That's what I should have done. But I sat there. I got out of the car when I heard the scraping noise. I got out of the car, and I just was shaking my head. I was going, it's my own goddamn driveway.
Right. And how many times have you gone past
thousands? Yeah. Literally thousands of times I have backed out of this driveway. How did I just scrape the side of my car mm-hmm. with a big rock that, as you pointed out so helpfully, Kevin, didn't move? The rock was always there. And you just look at it and you go, I'm a moron.
Yeah.
Like, there's no excuse for that.
And then when you have to pay that $1,000.
Yes.
For really for nothing. Just
for
to get
nothing.
Your car back to regular.
Exactly. It feels like taking out a $1,000 bill and just setting it on fire. You just like, you can't believe that you would do something that would take 1 second that could cost you that much money and is so unbelievably pointless.
In my defense, it wasn't $1,000. But it took about 10 minutes.
Yeah, but it was
kind of a three-step process, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you if you ever had one of those moments where you thought, what am I doing with my life? I'm lucky that I remembered to breathe and drink and eat. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
I just got a tweet from a guy who said, didn't we hear this Taco Bell story before? Is this a best of?
Nope. It's a whole nother story.
No, has this happened to you before, Kevin, where you drove away without your food?
I don't think so. Although I did drive through the McDonald's drive-thru and order food and then realize I had no money and fled.
That's right.
I drove away because I didn't want to get caught. And then people said, hey, just tell them that you'll bring them the food. You'll bring them the money back and they'll give you the food. I was like, that's stupid. I tried it and it worked. So.
Sure. And now you've never paid for another meal
since? Not since.
So 1-800...
Except for the one that I paid for at Taco Bell and didn't get.
Exactly. 1-800-520-1067. That is the number. If you've had a moment that has made you reevaluate your life, it's made you worry about you. That's what we're looking at. I'm glad Omar is here. I want to get to his story in a second, but let's take a couple calls real quick. Let's go to Sam Line 6, please. Sam is in Los Angeles, and she had one of those Kevin. I think they're called Kevin moments.
How dare you,
Sam? What happened to you?
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm going to start this off by saying I promise I'm smart.
Sure. Yeah, me too.
I lost my own car. I was meeting some friends for dinner, and then I walk outside, and I thought where I parked it, the car was gone. And we literally got in my friend's car, and we drove around the block like a couple of times looking for the car, and we couldn't find it. So I'm thinking, oh, my God, my car was stolen. You know, it was downtown L.A. It was Friday night.
Right.
So I Uber home. And I'm literally like 2 days later in the process of getting my insurance notarized, and I get a call from the LAPD saying, oh, hey, we found your car.
Oh, fantastic.
It was like one block over from where I thought I had parked it, and it was just sitting there.
So
not stolen.
So you just
at all.
Entirely forgot where you put it?
Assumed it was. No, it's just one of those things where it's like, hey, remember that time we lost your car?
Yeah.
And you felt like such a dummy, like, because you had stressed so much having your car stolen.
See, I would have played it off and been like, thank you so much for finding it.
I can't believe you located it,
way to go,
officer.
LAPD.
Someone stole my car just to drive it a block?
That's so weird.
Like, okay, you have to be able to pick it up in, like, 20 minutes. And I was at work, and I was like, I can't pick it up. Like, the car's been there for 2 days. Like, you can't just leave it there. They're like, oh, no, we're going to tow it.
Oh. That's
so
awesome.
On top of that, I had to pay for that, and I'm just like, okay, FL.
So you stopped drinking that day?
So this is the worst part. We were sober.
Sam, so my advice for you, and thank you for calling, by the way, is walk on. That's my advice for you. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Laura real quick, line 7. She is in Yucaipa. She also has a moment that made her worry about her that involves a car.
Did you say line 7?
5, I'm sorry. Okay. I did say 7. I meant 5.
All right. Laura, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
You had an apparently it's being called a Kevin moment now. I'm not sure proud of that.
It definitely was. This just happened last week. We have a new policy that about students parking in our parking lot, and we have a policy that will get them towed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last week I was pulling out and getting ready to go to lunch, and I scanned the parking lot, and I realized my car isn't there. And I am furious thinking that they had me towed. And I have my phone in my hand. I'm calling the office, getting ready to chew them out for having my car towed. And then I realize I'm driving my car.
What?
Wait, whoa.
All
right, hold up.
Laura.
Hold up. Pump the brakes. You're saying that you thought your car was towed and you made that phone call while you were sitting in your car?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Worse than me.
Yeah. Wow. You need an MRI, Laura. That's what you need.
That makes me so happy. Now it's a Laura moment.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, good morning.
What happened to you, son?
Well, my Kevin moment happened when I was about 20.
Laura moment. Yeah, it's a Laura moment.
She was in her car.
I had a car, old beater, and I couldn't afford new tires for it, so I'd always buy used tires for it. So for me, having a flat tire happened about once a month. So so it was like no big deal. I would change the tire, and I would be on my way. One night, I was running late for work, flat tire, so I'm there changing it really quick, and I throw all the gear in the trunk. Hop back in the car, I start driving away, and my tire just goes flying off. I forgot to tighten the nuts that hold the
rim, everything?
My rim, everything goes flying off, and I'm there in the middle of the street. I just hang my head, and
yeah.
What else? I'm like, I got to get another job so I could get some new tires. And it's, what am I doing, really? Right?
That's exactly what it is. It's a what am I doing moment. Yeah. It's a what am I doing? It's a I don't want to be like Kevin.
Yeah.
It's a, that's no way to live a life. It's all of those things rolling over you at one time.
Bad news.
All right. Do we have time for one more, Kevin?
Yeah, we have time for one more.
Let's talk to Mark in Long Beach. He's on line 8.
All right. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah. My Kev dog moment happened actually last night.
Last night?
I flew in from Pittsburgh last night, and I'm in, and I just show up to my house from LAX, and I start tearing, and I realize I don't have my phone. So I start tearing my car apart, looking everywhere. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? I don't want to go back to the airport. Where's my phone? So I reach into my travel bag, and I pull out a flashlight. So as I'm looking and tearing my car apart, this time with the flashlight, about maybe 10 minutes into my lit search, I realized that I'm actually using my cell phone for a flashlight.
You were using the flashlight part of your cell phone to look for your cell phone.
So I actually activated the flashlight on the cell phone and just continued looking for my cell phone in my car.
I feel so much better about myself.
You're not that bad, Kev Dog.
I'm not that bad. Yeah. Mark's that bad. Laura's that bad.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good. Is that what we're saying? All right. Thank you for the calls, everybody. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to clear the lines.
Don't say it.
But don't we need people to call?
Oh, you want them to call now? Okay, yeah, they can call now.
How did I screw this up?
I was afraid you were going to say why.
No. We're not going to tell you why, but we need you to participate in something next.
Yes. Scientific survey. We can say that. We need an impartial jury is basically what we're looking for. So we can't tell you what the topic is, but we are going to have you help us decide something of supreme importance. Same phone number, toll free, 1-800-520-1067. We'll explain it all coming up next right after this on K-Rock. The votes have been counted, and it is official. DJ Times Magazine and Pioneer DJ are proud to announce that Steve Aoki has been voted America's Best DJ for 2015. Ladies and gentlemen, he joins us in studio on the Kevin Lee Show right now. Hey, Steve. All right. Thank you, Kevin. We got it. That's
fine. Okay, Kevin.
All right. Big music, big announcement. We got it.
We got it. Turn it down.
What? What?
Turn it down a little.
Oh, too loud?
Hey, Steve, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys?
Is this a big deal, or is this a bogus award like a People's Choice?
No, it's cool. Of course, it's cool. You know, I'm honored to be. I'm kind of like floored that I made it to the top because there's so many more better DJs out there. In my opinion, like Skrillex.
Who's better than you?
Diplo, Skrillex, you know.
Diplo came in third place. Skrillex came in fourth place. Cascade was in second place.
There's a lot, you know. You think about your friends that are doing amazing things. You just think that they're always doing better things, you know. So, the cool thing about the DJ world is that there's no cliques and things like that where people kind of stay away from each other. It doesn't really happen with the DJs. Everyone gets along. Everyone's friends. It doesn't matter if you're dubstep or trap or trance or EDM or, you know, whatever. It's like we all end up saying hi at festivals and are pretty friendly.
It does seem like nobody puts out a song unless there are seven people included on it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In connection with
a lot of cross-fertilization.
A lot of that.
A lot of
cool.
collaborations. Yeah.
And can you have imagined, I mean, you know, 20 years ago, if somebody would have said to Steve Aoki, hey, there, in 2015, there's going to be a dozen superstars who are going to be able to fill up any venue in the world. You would not have even believed the growth of what you guys do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're lucky in a position where now we could. I mean, I've been touring at a very fast pace, and
you think
for a while,
for
but
it's like eight shows a day, and it's impossible,
and they all have to be countries. On different continents, yeah. Or doesn't agree to it.
But I like to keep filling it up, and I'm still just surprised that, you know, we could still do that and play even more places that we've never been to, and there's just so many different parts of the world that are fiending for this kind of music, and you really see it when you're playing these shows and you look at the fans' faces when you're playing their favorite song.
I feel like last time you were here, you were saying you were going to take a little break, get some surgery on your throat or something. Yeah. Did any of that happen?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I believe you.
No, Steve took 25 minutes off that.
Oh, got it.
And then he was back to it. Now he's fine.
You know what? I learned meditation properly because I had to do like 3 weeks of vocal rest. Mm-hmm. And I picked up the PlayStation. I bought a PlayStation because you had to do the video game hiatus when you're in album mode or else you're going to have your distraction.
Sure.
So I finally had some real downtime.
And Steve, I'm fascinated in meditation because there are a lot of people who I admire who swear by it. I have a couple of friends who are really, really into it. You know, famous people like David Lynch always talk about it. But I always feel like it's the type of thing that it would be hard for a new person to get into and take seriously because it just – don't you feel dumb when you start meditating? Like, oh, this is nothing or this isn't going to work. Like, how do you get past that and actually start to reap the benefits of it?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely that first kind of confused gray area when you're sitting there going, what do I think of?
And but you're supposed to think of nothing, right?
Yeah, because at the same time, you're like, especially in the morning, you're like, oh, I got to get this done. I got to call this person. I got to do this. There's like a million things that you have to do. But you just got to let it all slide away. And then eventually you find this space where you're just like, you know, you find it's like, I don't know, you can call it peace or whatever you want to call it. But you find the center and you come out of it with more energy. If the more you do it, the more you can able to find it faster. And I do it all the time now. I do it before my shows. I do it before I go to sleep.
Was it more difficult for you because of your crazy schedule and the things you have to do and all of that calendar stuff? Your schedule is worse than most people.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It was difficult in the beginning. And I think that's why I needed a complete reset and having this vocal rest. It needed that to happen for me to actually sit down. And I read this book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And that, that was the best, like the really good preface into this, you know, meditative state that I needed to be in. And then I wrote a song called Power of Now. So I was really inspired by that book and I was inspired by being in that state. And I think it's really important for people that are busy like myself to find energy in meditating instead of, what I'm drinking right now, you know, like coffee and, what could be worse, you know, so.
Kevin, have you ever tried meditation?
At times.
I feel like you clear your mind a lot.
Well, there's nothing there, really.
Yeah. So,
and what was the stumbling block for you? How did you not enjoy it or continue?
I don't know. I feel like at some point, you know, a couple of minutes in, you go, what am I doing? This isn't helping me. I guess I don't have the discipline to keep trying it until.
You know what you could do that will really help is
weed?
Group meditation.
Group meditation.
Because, like, you're going to be sitting there with your friend or your wife or your what, you know, whoever. And you can have a discipline of saying, okay, every day, let's meet up at this time and let's just sit for 20 minutes and we're just going to try this out.
But with the TV on, though, right?
No. My boyfriend used to play that all the time with me. Be like, let's try the quiet game.
Well, and did it work?
Yeah.
Allie, that's different because
we all ask you to try the quiet game, Allie.
You talk a lot.
Sorry.
And he didn't want that.
Steve, all right, one more question on this, and I apologize for spending so much time on this, but I'm really genuinely interested. It seems like you've gotten such great results from it. People who meditate regularly say that if they miss it, it's like people who exercise regularly and miss it, you just feel crappy. Like your day just doesn't feel right if you don't make that time for yourself. Is that what it's like for you too?
No, I think that just like for me, same thing with working out. If I guess you're right. You know, I guess in the end you do feel crappy because I since I came back from Spain, it's just funny. You go back to the U.S. and like you start getting slumpy with like the habits, the Western habits. You know, it's funny with like, it all comes together. I do kind of feel crappy. I guess I wasn't going to say that in the beginning, but it's the same thing. You know, when you have a really good positive routine and you get out of it for like some lazy reason,
yeah,
that's unnecessary. Because I mean, working out and meditating
makes you
gives you more energy.
That's our birthright. That's our birthright is to make terrible decisions, Steve. You mentioned Spain. Do I recall the last time you were in, did you have a weekly gig in Spain? Like you literally flew to Spain like every 6 days.
Well, actually, I lived there. So in the summer times, it just made more sense for me to have a villa in Ibiza because I have every single Monday for 19 Mondays, I was playing on the island.
Wow. And then you had to fly to Las Vegas every weekend, right, to work there or wherever, right?
Well, it's mainly I just stayed in Europe, and then I would fly like back to the U.S. and do a power weekend of shows of like four different shows, and then come back and then stay in Europe.
You would fly back from Europe to do
a power weekend.
I'm
exhausted.
Not even a week. That's insane.
Because you got to get back on Monday. You know what I mean? Like, you know, some people actually, you know, obviously, I'm sure there's plenty of people that wake up at 3 in the morning to work.
Right.
That's what I would have to do on Monday or Tuesday morning because my set would start between 3:30 and 4, and I'd go till 6. And that's like the peak hour of Ibiza.
Right.
Around 4 a.m.
Kevin, why aren't you living there, man? I know. That sounds like
because I think I would die if I lived there.
Yeah, maybe so.
With my discipline problems, I don't think that's where I need to be.
Steve Aoki is here. It's always a pleasure to have Mr. Aoki here on the Kevin Bean Show. There's a lot of good stuff going on, including, to me anyway, kind of a surprise new release, Neon Future Odyssey, Parts 1 and Parts 2, back out with new tracks and collaborations and lots of fun stuff that we will talk about with Steve when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Steve Aoki back visiting here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Steve, you have 3 million Twitter followers now. How's that feel, Ben? What kind of responsibility do you feel before you press send?
That's pretty awesome. I mean, I've been using Twitter forever, feels like. So
yeah, you were way early on it.
And it's cool. I mean, for a while, I was like, do people still use Twitter? You know, I was always thinking, like, I mean, how many people are actually reading these tweets?
Out of all the people that follow you, occurs to me too. Because most of the time, if you're looking at Twitter when it comes across the line, but if you're not, you usually don't go back and check on stuff.
But I realize it's not necessarily for like how people communicate to each other. That's more through like Snapchat or Instagram, whatever, you know. I think it's really for like people, like musicians like myself or artists that are doing things and the public that want to hear about it. Or for me, I like it for the news, like to see what's going on with like what's breaking, what's trending, what's going on in pop culture.
Well, Steve is here. I'm glad we got you in this week because you've got a bunch of things going on, including Neon Future Odyssey, which is the name of the new collection that went up on iTunes and all other digital services on Friday. Now, what is this? This is all the songs from the last two records, Volume 1 and Volume 2?
Yeah, so it's
plus more.
Yeah, Volume 1, Volume 2, and 6 new songs. And
nice.
There's a lot of collaborations. One I did with Borgore. The Power of Now we're talking about is also on there with Headhunters. And then I did a song, it's my ode to Celine Dion called Titanic.
All right, let's talk about that. That's an odd choice. How did that come about?
Okay, so I was preparing my set for what's to me like the most influential festival out there, Tomorrowland.
Where is that? I'm sorry, that's in...
It's in Belgium.
Belgium, yeah.
But it's also like, you know, it's live streamed and there's, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people watching it online. And I was closing main stage on the Friday. So I was like, all right, so I have a responsibility to do a really crazy show. You know, I got
to
bring something new.
Step it up.
I have to surprise people,
you
know. So I was thinking of what song could I bring into the set that everyone knows.
Right.
And it's like no one's really done. And I'm sure people have done it, but I haven't heard it in a while. So... I was like, okay, I want to try to remix My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Sure. Now, that song doesn't leap out at you as maybe that's the song you want to.
Well, I was thinking, like, you got to think of something out of the box. You can't be like Oasis or the Beatles. I'm just thinking about Oasis and the Beatles, actually. But then I was like, Celine Dion. Celine Dion is, like, so cool.
And everyone knows and that everyone song, knows whether they want to admit it or not.
Yeah, it's like Lion King. Like, you know, you think of that song, you know. Savannah. Like, yeah. People know that one.
So what did you do with it specifically that night?
Okay, so I made this drop. So I made a remix. I used her vocals. I used a sample of the song. Mm-hmm. And then I made this new drop that's hard. And it's one of my favorite new drops. And I played it out, and it went viral. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to happen, but there's going to be a lot of haters going, oh, my God, Steve Aoki's ruining EDM. He's playing Celine Dion at a festival. Like, what the, you know, what's going on, you know? But then, it's funny, all these haters didn't get it, but I play it every show, and the whole place, every place, wherever I play, doesn't matter what country, erupts. Everyone's singing along, and everyone's enjoying the moment. So all the haters, you need to be in the middle, mm-hmm. around all the people that are embracing this song that's incredibly epic. And to top it all off for myself, right before we released the song, because I made a new break because I couldn't clear the sample.
Okay.
So I made a new break, and I called it Titanic, and I met Celine Dion, and she was one of the most, like, coolest people I've met, and I mean,
I've
she's
heard
so
that,
funny.
That she personally is just
very
nice.
Self-deprecating too. She gets it.
She's so humble. She
gets
so
it. She's
funny.
Not for everybody, right?
And he, my friend Scott, right here, who's filming. He filmed, like, her rapping the song and, like, cutting it up, like, live, like a live remix. So we're going to make a cool video of, like, the whole thing of me meeting her, because she's so animated.
Weirdest life of anyone we've ever met.
You really do. Steve, here's what I love about that story, and thank you for sharing that with us. But what I love about that story is you knew before you played it that there were going to be people who would hate it, but you also knew that it was the right thing to do for you. You knew you had conviction in the decision to do something that you knew was not going to please everybody. Right. And I love that you went ahead with that. And that's what you want in an artist, is somebody who's following their creative spirit rather than just doing what they think the audience wants to hear, because you tell the audience what they want to hear. That's how that works.
Thank you, Bean. I appreciate that. No, that's,
do you get a lot of people who just don't understand any of your world?
Are you kidding?
And so they just hate.
Yeah.
Right?
The cakes are a big hate topic.
Really?
Yeah.
How could someone hate that? Who cares?
I know. It's
you
crazy.
You either love it or you don't care. How could somebody hate it?
The big criticism in the dance community is that it distracts from the music. So, like, all the entertainment things that happen during the show takes away from the actual music part of the show.
Right.
But to me, it's enhancing the show.
Yeah.
Which enhances
it's
your emotional experience. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, because when you go see a show, it's not just, you're not going there and closing your eyes and just listening. You're watching, you're seeing, you're feeling. Everything is all
you're
part
dancing,
of the thing.
You're part of an audience.
Yeah, the cake is so fun.
What about the – I see that you got an event. Am I right about this? I think you're in Syracuse this weekend, and you're doing some paint party.
Oh, yeah, the Life in Color. I mean, those parties are insane.
What's that? Now, is that literally people spraying everybody around them with paint?
Yeah, I mean, that's something you can YouTube, and you could just see, like, these huge hoses, and it's just – everyone's covered in, like, yellow, green, orange. I remember this girl, she had, like, green arms. She had, like, a yellow body. And then her inside of her mouth was, like, bright orange. Because they're just covered with paint everywhere. It's like the messiest party you could play.
And the messiest party ever. So do you just hand out that stuff to everybody who walks in? Or do people just bring their own? Or I mean, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It's a messy production, but they have, like, paint. You know,
water
cannons.
Cannons.
Yeah, and they just fly all over.
I need
a hoses
paint cannon.
On stage.
I need a paint cannon.
How do you protect your gear? Is it like a dome over you?
That's all in front of me.
Okay.
So
you don't get hit.
Yeah, so I'm behind. I'm just watching. It's more of a show for me.
A personal
yeah,
show.
It's definitely more of a show awesome. For me. I'm just like, oh, this is insane.
All right. Steve Aoki is our guest here on the Kevin Abede Show, by the way. Again, Neon Future Odyssey released digitally this past Friday. Check it out for the new songs and more. Let's talk about one more thing before you go, and that is The Hive. What's up?
The Hive is a film that I got involved with Cary Grant, who's producer of the Scream franchise that was, you know, was my one of my favorite thrillers. And he got me involved a couple of years ago, and we teamed up with the Nerdist and I got my music involved in the film. And you know, this is my first time stepping into a different world. So I was lucky for Cary to usher me in and get me involved with all the different factors.
Is it something
layers.
That you've always wanted to do, or
yeah,
does this happen because
it would happen more for like with Cary asking me to be involved in the music side of things, but then I really wanted to get more involved in the film itself, and you know, he's a perfect person to do that because he's opened so many doors for so many people, and he's really he's a great facilitator and connector with you know, he connected me with the director and the composer and just, you know, I there's so many different things I didn't know about making a movie, because before then I was involved in the storylines for every single video for Neon Future, and Neon Future is all based in the future, so
right.
All the videos, you know, the one I did with Fall Out Boy or Linkin Park, we're all based in, they're all connected stories.
And did you enjoy that process of putting those videos together?
I love the process. Yeah. So this was, for me, to get involved in a bigger project, a much larger project, with these teams on teams to create, you know, all the effects and the narration for this movie. That was incredible.
I can't believe how much you have going on a day-to-day basis, Steve. It's always, we're always exhausted when you leave just because of hearing about the life that you lead. Do you think there'll ever come a time where you will retire and not be involved in being creative? Can you imagine a scenario like that?
I don't know. I always have the motto that I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know, like I'm really, you know, it's like, what's the point of retiring? We're here to live. We're here to
right.
experience, take adventures. And learn, constantly learn.
Well, you certainly seem to be enjoying it, and you bring a lot of pleasure to the rest of the world. So thanks for everything that you do, and thanks for always including a little bit of time for the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Thank you.
Got an update on the Kevin and Bean listener who has a tapeworm in his brain. He came to us for help a few days ago, and we've got our friend Dr. Mo lined up to tell us what's new with Ivan. First, though, this was a surprising story on many levels that Ralph did in the Showbiz Beat yesterday. First of all, that anyone representing any company would sign up Scott Disick as a spokesperson.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Now, for folks who don't know the name, he was the one who became famous for dating Kourtney Kardashian. But he has been, I mean, essentially, he's just been in and out of rehab and just... If you've ever seen the Keeping Up with the Kardashians show, he's the guy who contributes nothing of any interest to any scene ever. That's Scott Disick. So why do you go to him and say, hey, represent my company?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. That's absurd.
Who buys whatever he's selling based on his celebrity? I don't know. Anyway, he's got a beard, and that's why he has been now associated with a place called the Dollar Beard Club, which I had never heard of until yesterday, but that is apparently a thing. It seems pretty hipster-esque to me, but this is a company that runs just to service the needs of you and your beard. I think we have a little clip of one of their commercials.
Gentlemen, I'm Chris, founder of DollarBeardClub.com. What is the Dollar Beard Club? Well, you sure as hell won't be receiving any razors from us to demolish your manhood. Instead, for only a dollar a month, you'll receive the most legendary beard oil known to mankind. Finding the time to go out and buy your monthly beard supplies is just too tough. I get it. But if you cherish your beard and you want to keep it healthy, feeling smooth, and smelling like the beard of Zeus, then you're going to need some oil in that hedge. Every month, straight to your door, you'll receive a fine selection of beard oils, waxes, balms, shampoos, and everything else you'd ever need to keep your beard looking godly. Good job, boys. Just keep on growing your beard,
that's right,
and we'll take care of the rest. Be a man and sign up at DollarBeardClub.com.
Okay. All right. You got to get some oil in that hedge, you guys. That's what I learned from that ad.
What's beard oil? Why do you use beard oil?
I don't know anything about it, but I'll tell you, a man who does is spokesperson for the Dollar Beard Club, Nick Balsack, who joins us here on the television. Nick,
I'm sorry, did I say that name right?
Yeah, bro, it's Balzac with a Z, dude.
Oh, Balzac. I'm different. Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, get some oil up in that head.
What? Kevin had a question right off the bat. Why? What's beard oil? What is that used for?
Come on, dude. You got to keep your beard looking fresh, dude. You got to get it. You got to make it smooth. You got to make it soft. You want it shiny but not greasy, okay? You want to minimize that beard itch, and you want to repair damaged beard hair.
Woo! Don't most men just use soap in a shower?
What? Most stupid men do, yeah. Oh. But not with the Dollar Beard Club. Scott Disick, yeah!
Do you know who Scott Disick is?
I sure do.
Okay.
He's a guy with a sweet-ass beard, I know that much. And he's married to Kris Jenner or somebody.
He used to date Kourtney Kardashian.
Right. But he's famous! Dollar Beard Club!
Now,
yeah, get some sweet almond oil up in that hedge. Have the beard of Zeus.
Beard of Zeus.
Zeus!
Mr. Balzac, I feel like...
Balzac!
I said that, Balzac. I feel... you must have to do that a lot, correct a lot of people, huh?
I do.
You should probably change that.
Yeah, that's why I grew the beard. I was hiding from people. Not anymore, because I'm proud of my beard. A whole of oil, woo!
I feel like for thousands and thousands of years, men had beards and they didn't need all of these products that you're selling from the Dollar Beard Club.
But now for a dollar a month, we'll send you some wax. Beard wax.
Okay. Is that styling, like a mustache?
Yeah, you can shape your beard.
Okay.
You can look like a 1920s bicyclist. Yeah!
Are we near the end of the hipster beard phase? I feel like we are.
No way, bro. Beards are now and forever. You put some sandalwood in that baby, slap some balm on there, tune it up with some wax, and you're forever. Beards are forever. Yeah! Dollar Beard Club, yeah! Go ahead, lady, yeah!
Seems like it takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, it does. I spend usually 14, 15 hours a day working on my beard.
What's up? How is that possible?
But it's worth it, man, because I look like Zeus. I can throw lightning at you. Lightning!
I just want to ask a follow-up. You can throw lightning?
Well, not really.
Okay.
But I look like I could.
Yeah, okay.
All right. That's all what right. Zeus did, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Scott or Dick?
Nope.
I'm exhausted just talking to you, Mr. Balzac.
Balzac!
Bit of bad news today. Sorry to be the one to have to bring it to you, but Wing is retiring.
No.
My favorite singer, Wing.
Kevin.
I'm sad.
I know.
Discovered her on South Park. The boys were going to be in management or something like that. And there was this singer that was really not good.
Mm-hmm.
Very early American Idol-ish.
Sure.
Where they think they're good, but they're terrible. So I thought, which of the guys does the voice or whatever? And I waited for the credits and it said Wing as herself. And I was like, no, don't fool with me because I love this. Search for Wing. She's a real person with a real career.
Wow.
She has made 30 albums.
30.
Yes. All of them amazing.
Define amazing.
So I went back. Well, you'll hear.
Okay.
So I went back and I pulled some audio that we have of Wing and an interview that we did with her so that we could give her the proper send-off.
That's nice.
The first clip that I'm going to play for you is Wing on the beginning of her CD. I forget which one it was. It was like 26, 27. Sure. It doesn't matter. They're all the same. And she's talking about what she hopes to accomplish with her music.
This upcoming album features collaborations with musical profession from Hawaii, Hong Kong, and Oakland.
So you got that going on.
Okay.
Chip, can you find my list down there? I think I put it down there. So you're already in, right?
Absolutely.
And then we started playing music from her, which is just magical.
Let's go.
Oh, I forgot to tell you. This album was about computer safety. She always has a message.
The whole album.
Computer safety.
Computer safety. Like Stranger Danger.
Yes. Okay. And she has a safe computer dance that she wanted to share with the world.
Okay.
So let's continue with this song.
Computer, bon bon. Yeah, let's go. Wiki, 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 Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
That's awesome.
Wiki, wiki, Wikipedia. Come on. She also did a lot of covers, a lot of covers, some of them better than others, all of them magical in their own way.
If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. Keep you on my hand, girl, never be alone.
Wow. Come on, right?
Wow.
How about...
Baby, 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 oh my baby.
That is magical right there. What is it? Is it called phrasing when you're singing like that? She's just, she's never,
never on,
the,
on time.
On the right. Yeah,
yeah,
she's never. And none more than this.
Baby, 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 oh, baby, 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 no, baby.
So you can see why I'm upset that she's going away. I mean, that's gold right there.
That's real good.
That's real good. Here is her cover of Poker Face. We're talking about Wing, who has retired now. We're very sad to announce. This is Poker Face. I did have to drop out a couple of beats because I think the translation came across poorly. But when she's saying poker face, and she gets into poker face, and then it sounds, I swear to God, it sounds like she's using the F word.
So you remixed Wing is what
you did. Well, I edited out the F word.
But it wasn't.
It wasn't, but I listened back to it like five times. I was like, that is 100% the F word. Like, maybe she doesn't realize it, but that's exactly what she's saying. So here's Poker Face. I remember having her on and going, hey, Wing, it's poker. Right? It's poker. She's like, yes, yes, it's poker. you know, if you like her, you got to put a ring on.
Yeah. If you like it, then you should put a ring on it. Up, up, up. Up, 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 up.
Yeah.
Oh, I love her so much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Gold. Oh. And I didn't appreciate her the last couple albums. I sort of took her for granted.
Right.
And now she's gone.
Oh, Kevin.
So I had Omar pull the last time we had Wing on, and Beat and I were talking to her and trying to say goodbye. We were finished with the conversation. Mm-hmm. She was putting out her latest thing, which was, I think you pay $10 and you give her a phone number and she would call and wish somebody a happy birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. So we had done the whole plug and we were done. We were just trying to get off the phone and sure. She wanted to sing happy birthday for us. And I'm just going to let this roll because it's just, she's just magic.
Wing, any message for your American fans before we say goodbye?
Can I sing a happy birthday song to all my fans for this for their birthdays in this year, 2010?
Please do.
In this year, 2010.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which you repeated many times.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wing.
Yeah.
Now. And now, Wing. Are you saying you want to sing? Or?
Yeah, okay. I'm putting on the music.
I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is a rare treat. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Wing.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No worries.
No problem. We love you.
Now,
here comes the Wing.
And now a live performance.
Wait, were you asking, can I sing it rhetorically? Or did you mean you were actually, you were planned on singing it?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you.
Come on.
Happy birthday to you.
Another verse.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
I don't really have second
happy
verse lyrics.
Happy birthday to you.
Again.
All right, now I don't know what we're supposed to be doing. Remix?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wing. Outstanding.
Nice, Wing. That was beautiful.
Happy birthday.
Okay. No, we got it now.
Happy birthday to you.
Begin.
Happy birthday to you.
Come on now.
Okay.
Now I think we are done.
How about that?
Oh. Thank you, my dear. We enjoyed talking to you.
Same to me.
Okay.
Same to me.
Same to me, she said. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. She's going to be missed. But she's got 30 albums. Go buy them. I'm just saying, it's pretty gross to keep your fingernails
in a box.
Right? Anywhere.
It's not a choice I would make. You know, I was thinking about this. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. We had a guest on the program yesterday, the executive producer of the Hellevator TV show on the Game Show Network. And it was kind of, I innocently asked how he got started being interested in horror as a kid. And the last thing in the world I was expecting is that he would tell us this story.
While other kids collected stamps and coins, I collected my own fingernails. I actually still have them in a little plastic box. It's still in my apartment. My wife doesn't know. It's still in our apartment. I have my fingernails, my baby teeth, and then a couple of colored nails because apparently every so often I would save a nail or two from my mother.
Was that responsive to my question of how he became interested in horror, by the way?
No, I think that was just, I'm a weirdo.
I'm a weirdo,
I think. He's the guy behind Paranormal Activity, too, right?
Right, and the Sinister movies, and I think the Ouija movies. I mean, he's got a long horror credential. So he told us that story yesterday, and I was thinking about this. I don't think there's anything inherently gross in fingernails. Like, when you cut your fingernail, you're not wigged out by it or grossed out by it. You put it in the trash, but it's not like it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. But once you put it in a jar or in a box or something like that and let it sit for a month and then a year and then 10 years and then 20 years, I feel like that's – then it's starting to cross some lines.
You think?
So it's the 10-year part that's...
No, I'm just saying...
What about the I have a wife and she doesn't know there's a box of it in our house?
Yeah. That strikes me as odd as well. A collection of old fingernails. So he... Now, you asked him about toenails and he said, no, that's ridiculous,
it's not
right?
Got to draw a line.
So
but his mom... By the way, his mom's fingernails.
Yeah.
Well, that's creepy.
What's that about, do you think?
I don't know.
So every time he would cut his nails... He would add them to his collection, and he saved it. And even though his wife found out about it, she thinks he threw them away. He didn't. He still has them, presumably hidden somewhere in their house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that got us thinking about unusual collections, and there are a lot of things that people have collected. I'm not a collector, and I don't think you are either, right, Kevin?
I am not, no.
Not a collector. Allie?
Nope.
Collect anything at all?
I used to have a lot of owls. Like, not real owls, obviously, but like owl figurines and owl lamp, owl ring. But
that's exactly the type of thing that we're talking about, that somebody just for whatever reason develops an attraction for a thing. And all of a sudden that's what they do in the rest of their life is they gather up those things and fill their house with.
Yeah, you still have the owl?
I do. And you it got do. To the point where people would bring me like, oh, here's owl salt and pepper shakers.
Right.
And I finally was like, enough, owls.
Oh, yeah. So you're mad at them.
I'm like, stop giving into my problem. I still have them.
Really? Okay. Yeah. We want to take calls if you have an unusual collection, something that you keep that most people don't. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
The stranger, the better. You know,
yeah.
we don't want like concert tickets that a lot of people do.
Mementos,
you know, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got a one-of-a-kind collection, we want to hear about it. Let me run a couple by you that Dave was able to research for us yesterday. What about this guy, Donald Detloff? He lives in Hawaii. He has 647 different surfboards.
Wow.
Now, is that, besides the fact that that is an extremely space-consuming hobby, by the way, surfboards.
Yeah.
Where do you even put that many surfboards? Would you consider that weird, wacky?
I don't know. He's in Hawaii, and he loves to surf. I'm good with that.
I like it.
But how, I mean.
I like that.
Okay. I just, he can't be using
most
of them,
right?
No,
they're not for use.
So what do they do? They just take up space, right?
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
Right? I know people who collect Coca-Cola memorabilia. Here's a 39-year-old in Italy who started collecting Coca-Cola cans when he was 15 years old. He has special edition and commemorative cans from almost every country in the world, including Cuba and North Korea. It doesn't say how many he has, but it's one of the world's largest collection of Coca-Cola cans.
Omar has a lot of Coke stuff and some Coca-Cola cans.
Here's...
Here's Allie. This is like your owl collection. This is Karen Ferrier is her name. She is obsessed with Dalmatians, and she owns a collection of over 3,500 Dalmatians. I would imagine it's statues and prints and pillows and those sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
And Dalmatians. Kevin, who was your couple in Ohio that you were interested in?
Well, this is a little weird, but there is a couple in Ohio that have love dolls. They have 240 sex dolls, and they keep them all over their house.
And this is a couple?
Yes.
This
is
a guy who just wants
a wife.
It's not just a dude who wants to date a different doll every night.
His name
is. He's got a wife.
Bob and Lizzie Gibbons.
All right. And finally, before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067, Graham Barker has the largest collection in the world of belly button fluff. He started his collection in 1984. So where our friend Jason would save his fingernail clippings, he, every time he cleans out his belly button, would put it in a bottle. And he has over 22 grams of belly button fluff.
Okay, let's not make it cute and call it fluff. That is straight up dirt and lint and gook.
Yeah, it's gook.
You sicko.
Says the owl lady.
True.
Right, how does somebody get started on that collection? I wonder.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Take me back to his first day where Graham cleaned out his belly button and said, I can't waste this.
Oh, put it in the box.
All right, where do you want to go first?
I want to start with Pamela right off the bat. She crazy. Hey, Pamela.
Hello.
You collect what?
My cat's whiskers in a whisker museum.
I just heard the words whisker museums.
Do you have a whisker museum in your house?
I do. It's a beautiful little glass cloisonné box where the whiskers are displayed. Mm-hmm.
Why is your cat losing so many whiskers? What, are there a lot of fires in your house?
No. It's numerous cats over like 40 years.
And do they just do whiskers?
Hold on. Numerous. How many? Over 100?
No.
150?
Four.
All right. Forgive me for not knowing this, but do whiskers, they just fall out?
Yeah, like people's eyelashes. Similar.
And then you save those. And how many do you think you have?
Probably about 200 to 300.
And do you just glance into your whisker museum, or what, how do you
sometimes
pay?
I let people, certain people are allowed to see the whisker museum. It's pretty private, but the whiskers are different colors have different value in my mind, like for luck. I've always thought that when you find a whisker, you kiss it and it's good luck.
So you kiss the whiskers?
Yeah, you kiss the whisker and put it in the museum, and then I know I sound nuts.
No,
you sound good.
So the white whiskers are like 24 hours of good luck, and the 48 hours for the black or the gray.
Do you ever wonder what your life would have been like had you gotten married instead?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you listening, Pamela. Thank you for sharing the Whisker Museum with us. All right. That's the that's the first call. That's first. That's the one we already talked to. So we'll see what you got when we come back. 1-800-520-1067. Unusual collections after this on K-Rock. I appreciate so much Kevin and Lister Maher for emailing me about the collection of 342 bottles of different hot sauces that he has. However, that is not going to cut it today, my friend. That is not going to make the grade for Unusual Collections today after we talked to our whisker lady friend. Let's go back to the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about unusual collections, we had a guest on yesterday who collects his own fingernail clippings and has since he was a little kid. Lucy gets this going. She's in Thousand Oaks. She's on line 7. I don't even know. I can't. I can't even.
Hey, Lucy.
Hey.
You have an unusual collection?
Hello?
Lucy, yes, go ahead.
Yes, I do. Actually, it's not me. It's a friend.
Sure. Yeah, right. Friend, in quotes. Go ahead.
Ew. I wouldn't do that.
Sure.
She has, but
she has what?
She has ferrets that she embalms and keeps them forever.
Ferrets?
Dead ferrets. Well, they were her ferrets, but now they're dead, and she embalms them, and she keeps them in a cabinet.
How many do you think she has?
Oh, she probably has about 8. so far.
Okay, we're having a lot of trouble with your phone. I'm sorry, Lucy, but can you just tell us why do so many of her ferrets die?
I don't know.
Get away from her.
I couldn't tell you that.
Because they want to?
Yeah,
they want.
All right, probably, Lucy. Yeah. Probably, yeah.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
Tell your friend. Thank you. Let's go to line three, please. Whittier, this is going to be our man, James.
Hey, James.
This is in the category of fingernail clippings, but maybe worse. Hi, James. Welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. What are you collecting?
Hey, now. Well, when I was a kid, I used to collect the blisters, the dead skin from my feet and my sister's feet, and I kept them in an Altoids box.
Oh my God.
I had a microscope, and I was convinced that I was going to be a scientist when I was older, and I didn't.
Do you still have the skin collection?
No, but I had it for a good 5 years, but I wouldn't let anyone near it. It was like my thing.
Sure. Well, you weren't fighting people away from who wanted to be near it either, by the way. It's not that hard.
You'd have to hire security.
Right, exactly. You should have made a bitchin' lampshade out of it, man. Come on.
Come on, James.
Ooh,
waste
of good skin. I'm going to start a new collection.
Yes.
Right now.
All right,
excellent.
James. Goals. All right. Let's talk to Carmela in Bellflower. She's on line five. She has something that's not nearly as gross, but is equally curious to me. Carmela, welcome to the Kevin Devine Show. What's this unusual collection that you have?
Okay, I have a collection of water.
Water?
Okay.
Like bottled water?
No, it's water from places, like water from the Mississippi River, water from the Atlantic Ocean.
You just bring a jar with you everywhere you're going?
No, it started because someone who went to the Mississippi River brought me back like a little vial of water, and I was like, this will make an interesting collection. The only problem is when I started collecting water from other places, I didn't really put them in airtight containers, so they evaporated.
That's a problem.
But
so now you just have a collection of containers.
Yes, that's right.
But here's the question, that even if they were perfectly maintained, at some point you stand and you look at a shelf and you're looking at 10 different vials of water, and what do you really have?
Right, exactly. And then I had a little vial of water from the Thames in London.
Right.
And it was really gross and cloudy and disgusting. So
yeah.
I threw it away.
You wised up. Okay, very good. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Do we want to talk to Eddie and San Dimas,
yes,
line
we
seven,
do.
Or do we not want to? Okay,
yes, we do.
Sort of slash no, we don't. Eddie, hi.
What do you do, party people?
I'm afraid to ask what you collect.
No, it wasn't me. It was some crazy broad I dated.
All right, let's hear about it.
Condoms.
Well, it's good to have condoms on hand. You never know when you're going to bring a boy home. What's wrong with that?
Not used ones.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
Cool chick. Thought she was an amazing chick and went back to the apartment one night to take care of some business, and she goes, do you think it's a Ziploc baggy size or a gallon Ziploc bag? And what are you talking about? She's like, and she like pulls this one up, and she's like, I only keep the best one. Oh, I bailed, man.
I was going to ask. That's a deal breaker, right?
Oh, dude, I was gone.
Yeah. What do you think that's about?
I didn't even ask. I just left.
I mean, that's her way of commemorating the date so that she has something to look at later and go, oh, yeah, that guy was fun. I mean, is that what's happening here?
I feel like we don't need more details.
Yeah. Some ladies keep cocktail napkins.
That's enough for anyone, Eddie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Eddie.
Gross.
I can't believe he didn't even recognize your voice, Allie. That was weird.
Thank God.
Let's try Gary in Fullerton, line six. This may have to be our last one. I don't.
But what about Melissa?
I don't know that I have the strength to go on.
Yeah, we got
to
go to Melissa, too.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, what's up, knucklebutt?
You collect what?
Dead people's ashes.
And where do you get these?
Dead people's ashes.
I have a friend that works at a crematorium, and you wouldn't believe how many people actually have their relatives cremated but never come and pick them up. Mm-hmm. I have about 45 urns of dead people's ashes.
So you say to your friend, hey, look, if nobody picks that one up, can I have it?
Yeah.
Is there a time limit? Like, do they have 5 years, 10 years?
Yeah, what if they come back? Does your friend come back to you and go, hey, they're looking for their ashes?
Well, I guess they make some type of call into these people day, you know, your relative or whoever is ready. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they can't get a hold of them, or they've moved and there's no finding them. You know, usually he waits about 90 days.
But if you don't want them, I got a buddy named Gary that collects them.
Yeah, Gary, what's that all about? What do you just look at the urns and you're like, oh, that was Tim. I didn't know him, but boy, did he live.
Well, because he has the information of who it is and the age that they died.
Right.
And so what I'll do is on the urn, you know, I'll get a cheap one or whatever, and I'll have it made out to that person. And then every Halloween, I'll put them out with my Christmas decoration. I mean, my Halloween decoration.
I'd hate to know what you do for Christmas.
Like it makes a difference at that
point. So these people die friendless and familyless, but at least they end up as part of your Halloween decoration. So it's not all bad.
No, it's not all bad.
All right, I feel like we're done. I think you're right, B. I think we're finished.
Oh, my God. All right, Gary.
You're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
These are our listeners, by the way.
We knew we would get enough calls.
Right. But that was an astonishing collection of listeners.
Cat Whisker Museum lady wins, though, right?
I don't know, dude. He's collecting
ashes from dead people that he didn't know.
And the lady with the crazy used condom collection.
Yeah,
too.
Wow.
All right, we apologize, Melissa. We didn't have time for you, Richard, and the others. We do have to clear the lines and open them right back up again for something completely different. The same number, 1-800-520-1067. Every day this week, we've been giving you tickets to see the L.A. Clippers home opener. It is tomorrow night at Staples Center versus Dallas Mavericks. By the way, that's going to be interesting to see DeAndre Jordan and Mark Cuban in the same room at the same time.
Sure.
Tomorrow night,
yep.
with what went down over the summer. If you're a huge basketball fan, particularly if you love the Clippers, we want to hear from you right now. 1-800-520-1067. You are going to have to earn your way in. We'll give you a chance to play a game and win tickets to see the LA Clippers next year on K-Rock. All right. Rush Limbaugh back in the news. Kevin, what's going on?
I love Rush Limbaugh so much. Does anyone take him seriously?
Yes. A lot of people.
Until the last few years, he was the most listened to radio personality in the country, and he had millions and millions of people who hung on every word, because Rush Limbaugh, you guys, is the only one telling the truth out there sometimes.
He said on his show on Monday that NASA's announcement of the discovery of flowing water on Mars is just to help the leftist agenda.
Yeah.
That's it. They're making it up. There's no proof of anything. They're just making it up.
Because you know how science can be twisted, Kevin.
Yeah. Here's Rush talking about it himself.
This news that there is flowing water on Mars is somehow going to find its way into a technique to advance the leftist agenda. Eons ago, ancient Mars had an extensive atmosphere along with an ocean two-thirds the size of our northern hemisphere and a mile deep. After an unknown catastrophe, Mars suffered a major climate change and lost its surface water. An unknown catastrophe.
Oh.
Unknown.
Right.
What's he saying? What's
the
he saying?
The Mars guys and the scientists said a catastrophic event related to climate change. It's a politically charged term. Climate, catastrophe, Mars. How does anybody know that? But this is absurd. Catastrophic event when nobody lives on Mars? Until they're going to tell us they did.
Yep.
And global climate change destroyed them. Don't rule it out, folks. We're dealing here with desperate leftists who will do anything to advance their agenda here on Earth.
We heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Rush Limbaugh calling out those lying scientists in NASA. Let's find out more with Mr. Limbaugh. He joins us on the phone in the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Rush.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
Well, we're good.
Great, and it's great to have you on again. How you been?
I am excellent, and I am here to tell you the truth about the leftist agenda and the corruption of NASA by the Obama administration.
Okay, why don't you take at face value scientists telling us they have found evidence of water on Mars?
First of all, the lies, the endless lies. The ocean was a mile deep. How do they know? They're not there. They can't measure it. They don't have a yardstick that they can stick a mile times.
A mile-long yardstick?
Into the ground to see exactly how big it is. This is all guesswork and lies by the leftists to make us want to save the environment and crazy things like that.
Why is that such a bad idea?
Because the environment doesn't need saving. Global warming is a myth. little lady. It doesn't exist.
Okay. You can argue that if you want. Most scientists disagree with you. But my point with you, Rush, is that scientists know a lot of things that happened when there weren't people around to see it. We know about the Ice Age, for instance, and we didn't have humans on Earth for that because we are able to dig down and take soil samples and learn things from what's left.
A catastrophic event on Mars?
Right.
How do we know it's catastrophic? Maybe it was awesome. Maybe it was a bitching event.
Look, we weren't there.
It was a miracle.
Right, but we weren't there to see...
Exactly, that's my point. We weren't there to see it, and there were no Martians there to see this event. This could have been the greatest event in the history of it. This could have been the Super Bowl of climate change for Martians. Martians could have been high-fiving each other when it happened because it was so righteous and rad.
I don't think scientists... Did a 65-year-old man just use the term rad?
Yep. I did, my friend.
I don't think scientists are saying what happened was good or bad. They're just talking about it from a factual standpoint, much the way we talk about how the Grand Canyon got formed by being hit with debris from outer space. We weren't there to see it, but we know what happened because we see the Grand Canyon.
We don't know what happened. It's a guess.
But it's a pretty good one.
But what if God put it there?
What if God is a guess?
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us.
Well, it's a good point.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know. And for NASA, which has been corrupted by the Obama administration, I mean, the next proof positive of this, the next mission Mars is undertaking is going to be a manned capsule to Kenya. Do we really need that? I mean, that's unnecessary. You can take a flight to Kenya.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that's right. I think you get your facts wrong on that one, Rush.
They are renaming Mars Muslimia.
I don't think that's true either.
These are the facts, my friends. You can put your head in the sand if you choose to.
These are not the facts, though.
But are absolute facts. And mark my words, friends, the left is going to come forward and say, oh, we have to do something to protect our planet and to keep our environment healthier and cleaner. This is poppycock.
But don't you want to live on a planet that's cleaner and healthier?
Well, who's to say we're not making the planet better? Maybe the planet wants to be filthy and polluted.
You think the planet
is... Someone asked the planet, that's what I'm asking the question. Has anyone talked to the planet lately?
Probably not.
Well, I have, my friends.
You have?
I have talked to the planet.
Uh-huh.
Hold on a second. I need to pop a few more OxyContin.
Okay.
After a few of these bad boys, the planet screams at me.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I've seen that all morning.
Sorry, I thought that was over. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6.07.
Is that the video you like, Kevin?
That is the video that I love because
it's
all
got monkeys in it.
Chimpanzees. Pretty strong.
It's great.
Mm. Pretty much breakdancing, right?
Yeah, they're grooving.
They are grooving.
They feel good.
All right, check that out. Hey, welcome into a Tuesday morning. A lot of program coming up later on today, including your tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which is not this weekend but next, so stick around for that. Details at KROQ.com. Right now, how about a little Real King Fake King? Broadcast legend for many, many years. Decades he had a radio show, and then for decades after that he had a TV show, and now he's got an internet show. The guy just will not lay down and die. He insists on talking, and he insists on tweeting too, and that's why we have some fun by reading Larry King tweets. They might be real Larry King tweets. If they are, here's the sound you'll hear.
Will Glenda be there?
And if it's just a made-up tweet to sound like Larry, this will be the sounder.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
All right, so we're going to go around the room and see who does well. Who generally wins this game? Who's the reigning
Ralph
champion?
Ralph usually wins
pretty
everything.
Pretty much Ralph, yeah.
Split up.
Yeah.
I think it's
Ralph's pretty good
split.
At guessing games. All right, Kevin, you get to go first. Here's the first tweet. Is it real Larry or is it fake Larry? I've always loved Fig Newtons.
I've always loved Fig Newtons. That's real. That's real.
Who doesn't love a Fig Newton,
right?
What?
Oh, they're gross.
Fig Newtons
what?
Are awesome.
They taste like chalk.
What? Oh,
they're so
like
dry. Oh,
wrapped
wow.
in delicious velvety vanilla cake.
Really? Okay.
I want to know where Allie's buying her chalk because it sounds good.
I say yes, Real King as well.
It's definitely real. Cause old people love Fig Newtons.
Will Glenda be there?
Wow, very impressive, all right. You guys.
Yeah.
All right. I still think America the Beautiful should be our national anthem. I still think America the Beautiful should be our national anthem. I believe, Ralph Garman, you have the board.
I don't think Larry thinks there's anything wrong with our current national anthem. I don't think he. I think he might love that song, but I don't think he was. He doesn't want an uprising. He doesn't want a rebellion. He's not a rebellious guy. Yeah.
People don't like to change things.
I say fake. I say fake king. Fake, fake, fake.
Fake king. All right, Allie.
I think a lot of people wish it was our national anthem, including Larry.
One of them? Yeah, okay.
Real king.
I'm going fake.
Will Glenda be there?
Wow, real king.
Real king indeed. All right. Allie, you're up next. Real king, fake king. Does anybody still say howdy? Does anybody still say howdy?
That's fake king. Because really, who cares?
Larry, real.
True. That's true.
I'm saying real because Larry cares.
I don't think howdy is a name, as a word that has entered Larry's life a lot. He wasn't on the range. He wasn't punching doggies.
Old enough to have settled the West, though. He may have been one of the first Easterners to come to California.
I'm going to say fake. Fake king.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Yeah, very impressive. Nice. Ralph. Good at this game.
It's a faker.
Kevin, I think you're up first, right?
Yep.
All right.
Allie's in the lead. She wants you to know that. She's making all kinds of gestures off the air that she's actually in the lead. So she's really good at this game, B. She was upset by that comment. Tragic. Kevin, the woman is tragic.
Should we call Dr. Drew?
Yeah, we should. Someone should be alerted.
Inform him.
Let's get a billboard.
Let him know off the air. Real King, Fake King, Kevin, is there an old Hampshire? Is there an old Hampshire?
Is there an old Hampshire?
Whoever wrote this one should get punched right
Agreed.
In the nose.
And I think
it's
Bean
or Larry.
And I think it was Bean trying to trick us. So it is fake.
I would like to think it's Bean because I would like to punch him in the nose. So I'm going to say fake king as well.
I'm going to say real king because he would say that.
Will Glenda be there?
That is real Larry King.
Damn it.
So that means you're going to have to punch Larry King in the face the next time you see him.
All right.
All right, Ralph, you are up next. I like the feeling of a baseball cap on my head. I like the feeling of a baseball cap on my head. Real Larry King, fake Larry King.
This one, I know. But Ralph's up.
Well, you certainly are good at the game.
No, I don't.
I don't think I've ever seen Larry King wear a baseball cap once in any photograph ever. If he really enjoyed that, wouldn't he put it on once in a while if that was the case? I say fake king.
I feel like at Dodgers games, he's kind of slumped over, and I'm picturing a hat on him.
Okay. Right. Have you ever seen it? Or you're just...
I am picturing like a blue Dodgers jacket all
this,
slumpy.
We're doing this past life regression with you.
I'm going to say real king.
I'm going to say Bean knows that he loves baseball a lot, so he's going to try and trick us with the baseball hat, and I'm going fake.
Will Glenda be there?
Damn it!
Kevin, you think way too hard about this game. Allie, you're absolutely right, and Ralph, this is why you didn't know, because you don't watch baseball, but Larry is often behind home plate during a Dodger game wearing a baseball cap, usually one that's advertising Aura TV, his internet network that he's on.
What's the score?
But he wears baseball caps.
I've got 5. Ralph has 2. You have 1.
Wow.
All right.
Allie's really good at this game.
Allie, you're so good at this game.
Oh, my God. Thank you for noticing.
All right. Let's go around. Well, let's finish this and then one more round real quick. Allie, I think you're up first.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known a knitter.
Excuse me?
I've never known a knitter.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay. Ah. Fake king. He's old timey. People knit all the time when they're old at appointments and stuff.
He is married to a teenager, though. Remember that.
That is true.
I've never known a knitter. You say fake king.
Fake. I'm going to say fake as well. I think Larry knits. That's why himself.
I don't think he does. He's always been a very metropolitan, cosmopolitan kind of guy. And knitting is, I don't think, something.
What about needlepoint? You think he does that?
No, I think he's hanging out at the Cordon Bleu. Or the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami when he got started.
He is New York, D.C., Miami, and Los Angeles. That is his life.
A lot of knitters in his world. I say that's real king.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Allie again, right?
Allie again, yeah.
All right.
Kevin.
I got
all right, one more
you
round.
Did, Kevin.
I
you
got
did.
One there.
Hey, Kevin did too, Bean. He needs some also. Just
well,
because
I'm so far behind everybody, I can't win. That doesn't matter.
You and I are tied now.
One more question. We're going around the horn one time. Here we go.
Right.
And I think it's
is this one worth 4 points?
No, I don't think it works like that.
That would help.
When a ball is thrown, why do dogs chase it? When a ball is thrown, why do dogs chase it? Kevin, you were on the clock.
I'm going to go real. You're on the clock. I'm going to go real.
That means Larry King is stupid. Because everyone knows why dogs chase balls. Because it replicates their hunting instinct. They're hunting prey. That's what they do.
So you think if it was real, then he would be dumb, so it can't be real. That's
yeah,
what you're
I
saying?
Think he knows better than that. I'm going to say that's fake.
Okay.
I'm with you, Ralph. I'm saying fake, too.
Will Glenda be there?
He's dumb. Larry King is dumb.
What's the final score, please?
Kevin, 3. Ralph, 2. Allie, 6.
Yeah!
We have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Real King Fake King.
Is it Larry King or are we fake King?
Oh! Not all. I want to be fair. Most bad things come from Massachusetts. I think we would all agree with that, right,
oh,
Kevin?
Absolutely. No. 100%.
And Boston is in the news this time around because there's a robot that has begun a journey across America hitchhiking. This is the Hitchbot, which you may have heard about before. It made the news a little bit last summer when it hitchhiked across Canada, went all the way across the whole country of Canada in just 26 days, 19 rides. Then it went to Germany and did the same thing, went through Munich and Cologne and Berlin and Hamburg. Then it went to the Netherlands. Now it's in the United States. And basically what this robot does is it hitchhikes. And you pick it up, and it has software in it so that you can actually talk to the robot. And it's got a checklist of places that it wants to visit in the United States. And it's just, I guess it's up to the kindness of strangers to shepherd this little machine around the country. What do you guys think about that?
Why is this happening?
Like, why does this need to exist?
I don't understand anything that's going on today.
Well, I think we've got the perfect person or robot, should I say, to answer all of your questions because Hitchbot is on the phone with us right now. Hey, Hitchbot.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're good.
I am Hitchbot.
Right.
Yes,
can
you
I
are.
Can I have a ride, please?
Well, we can't help you right now. We're just on the phone, Hitchbot.
Well, then, F off.
Okay, wow. All right. So you are in, you're in Massachusetts right now. How's that going?
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's fun.
How about those Patriots?
I can't get out of this town fast enough.
Right? Right, exactly, yeah.
A bunch of math holes.
Right? Wow, you got pretty smart there for a robot, huh?
Yeah. I did get pretty smart here for a robot.
Right, Hitchbot?
But I have a computer for a brain. So I should be smart. Yeah.
So what's the plan here? What are you trying to get across America? What do you want to do?
What do I want to do? I would like to be picked up by cars.
Okay, but
then,
why?
And then give me rides.
But why? What does that accomplish?
So I can go to...
Hitchbot?
So I can go to other cities.
Okay, but why?
But what is I guess Kevin's question is, Hitchbot, what does a robot get out of going to Disney World, for instance? That's on your bucket list. You want to go to Disney World of Florida. Why? You're a robot.
But I would like to meet some of those animatronic babes.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right, they do have
robot sex with one of the presidents in the Hall of Presidents or something.
Okay, now we're talking.
Especially Lincoln. He's got a log.
So you want to go to Mount Rushmore
yes.
in South Dakota.
I love rock.
Lincoln Memorial, Washington, D.C. All right, so you've done this in other places around the world. So what is that like when you get picked up? Like you just start having a conversation with the driver who picks you up on the road?
I do, and most people are very nice. Uh-huh. Except for one time I got molested by a lumberjack in Canada.
Oh, that's rough.
He said, grass, gas, or ass, nobody rides for free.
Right.
Uh-huh. So he took some mechanical ass.
Now, how many people drive past you while you're trying to hitchhike and don't pick you up?
Many. Most.
Yeah, I would imagine. That's true of any hitchhiker, though, really, right?
I believe they think I'm some sort of mailbox.
Well, once you do get in the car, what are the conversations like?
I usually say... Hi, hello, I am Hitchbot.
Okay.
You can call me Alfred. Alfred Hitchbot.
Hold on a second. Do we have to put Hitchbot in the file?
Really?
When it's part of the file.
All right, you better hit the road there.
I better get a ride.
Good luck.
You are confusing me, Kevin. Which thing are we doing here?
Oh, we're doing the other thing here.
That's
I'm
why
so confused.
I don't know what you're trying to do here. You're steering me down the wrong path here, son.
So we're doing the other thing and not the thing.
Yeah. Okay, let's do the thing.
We'll do the thing. My bad.
I want to thank our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter, who reached out to me over the weekend to give me a tip that they had exclusively obtained the unsealed testimony of Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke in the Blurred Lines trial. Remember, a couple years ago, those guys were sued over the Blurred Lines song by the estate of Marvin Gaye, who claimed that that song was just a ripoff of Marvin Gaye's song Got to Give It Up. And they lost that case. They had to pay like $5-7 million or something like that to the Gaye estate. And it is under appeal right now. So we heard some of the details of the testimony a year ago when it happened, but now we actually can see the video. And I got to tell you, you have never seen a more miserable person under oath than Pharrell Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't had the joy of being in a deposition, they suck.
They really? Do suck.
Yeah, yeah. Because the opposing lawyers can just bully you and make stuff up out of nothing. And just there's no rules, basically. They can do whatever they want to do to you.
Yeah,
they
don't have the same restrictions that they would have in court where something has to be relevant, for instance, and legal. They can ask whatever you want. But I got to tell you, the line of questioning did not seem outrageous in this case, but Pharrell Williams was having none of it. He's too rich to be in a deposition, right? He doesn't have time for nonsense like this. Here's a little bit of the testimony, and they're talking about various terms that are used in writing music, and Pharrell Williams had made a reference to one that the attorney interrogating him had some questions about.
Define a bluegrass chord structure, please.
I'm not here to teach you music.
Please define it.
I'm not here to teach you music.
Does that mean you can't do it?
No.
It means you can do it, you just don't want to?
Means I'm not comfortable.
So then, and if I ask you more questions about that, you'll just keep saying you're not comfortable, right? You just won't answer my question.
Bro, whatever you want to do, man.
What do you mean by 6-8 time signature?
6-8 time signature.
What do you mean by that?
She knows. I have to tell her to break it down to you.
I want you to break it down to me.
You don't need me to do that.
So you're not going to do it?
You have me at the colleges right there.
Does that mean you can't do it?
It means I'm not comfortable, and you have someone that's completely apt and prepared to do it right there beside you.
Define what you meant by pentatonic harmonies.
She's right there.
So you're not going to answer the question?
I'm not comfortable.
Are you going to tell me what you meant by 6-8 time signature and what you meant by pentatonic harmonies or not?
I'm not comfortable.
Are you refusing to answer my question about what you meant by money?
Listen, man. Listen. You have a musicologist to the left of you.
Are you refusing to answer my question?
I'm telling you, I'm not comfortable.
Frosty, right?
I am not comfortable.
I'm not comfortable was an acceptable answer.
Oh.
Well, that's an excellent point, Kevin. And in this next clip with the deposition with Pharrell Williams, the attorney will basically say to him, look, it's a yes or no question. You can't just tell. I don't care whether you're comfortable, he says at one point. It does get worse.
Can you please tell me on page 11 the names of the notes that are depicted?
Yeah, I'm not comfortable.
Okay, so the answer is you can't answer the question?
The answer is I'm not comfortable.
Okay, so you can't, yes or no, can you identify the names of the notes, yes or no?
I'm not comfortable.
What I want to know is, can you identify the names of those notes?
I'm giving my answer.
Yes or no, can you
I'm
do it?
I'm not comfortable.
So are you refusing to answer my question?
I'm not refusing, I'm giving you the most I can give you.
Can you identify the names of the notes that are depicted on page 11, the charts represented on page 11?
I'm not comfortable.
Is that going to be your answer to any question that I ask you, if I were to ask you to identify names of notes?
I don't know.
I'm just asking you whether you can read notes. And you told me you could, and I'm asking you to identify the notes
right.
that are shown.
Right.
And you can't do it, can you?
I'm not comfortable.
I'm not comfortable. Okay. So he's just there so he won't get fined, is what we've learned about.
He's the Marshawn Lynch of the music world.
And how do you break a standoff like that? I mean, the attorney can ask him all day, but if the person being interviewed doesn't answer him, there's no way to be. I mean, again, we're not in court, so he can't be held in contempt, I don't think. He can't be sent to jail for refusing to answer a question.
Plus, he's not lying, right?
Right.
When he says,
that's
I'm
true.
Not comfortable,
right.
so that's not a
yeah.
lie.
Yeah, it's got to be a very frustrating thing. And again, and I go back to this, Pharrell Williams, too damned rich to be dealing with nonsense like that, right? All right, so there's, again, you can go to The Hollywood Reporter and you can see a lot more. There's, 15 minutes of tape or something like that on Pharrell.
I feel like we've heard a lot of that. We've heard enough, probably.
All right, now let's talk about Robin Thicke, who my impression is that
Robin Thicke showed up and Pharrell had the song for him. I watched a lot of this yesterday. It looked to me like Robin Thicke contributed very little to this song. Pharrell Williams is a musical genius. He's the guy who came up with the lyrics. He's the guy who came up with the melody. He's the guy who came up with the hey, hey, hey. You know, he obviously knows how to put a beat together. Robin Thicke, I don't know what he contributed to it other than he probably paid Pharrell Williams for his services so that he could record the song. We don't have as much tape on Thicke, but what we do have is going to shine his life in a new light for you, including this question.
Now, I don't believe that I asked you this question, but you are not disputing that you said those words that are in that interview or in the prior interviews that I've showed you.
With all due respect, I was high and drunk every time I did an interview last year.
Oh. I didn't know that was a defense. What?
I don't know if what's happening here is Robin Thicke. Because, again, I only saw tiny little clips of the Robin Thicke testimony. Is his defense, hey, don't come at me, bro, about ripping off this Marvin Gaye song because I was just high and drunk and I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know what I was saying. I mean, is he basically trying to say I can't be held responsible for anything?
I had some exes that did that for accountability. Like
really?
I was drunk and high. I boned her.
I think he's saying legally, I don't know. Legally, I can't
incapacitated.
I can't blame.
Yeah.
I need to write that down.
So he was asked.
Because I won't remember.
He was asked about all the various interviews that he did, and I'm assuming that what they're pointing to is, hey, you went on Oprah and said you wrote this song. That's what they're trying to get from him, is that he wrote the song, right? Let's see what he says about that.
Do you make it a habit of being dishonest when you give interviews?
When I give interviews, I tell whatever I want to say to help sell records.
All right, very charming.
Wow.
Wait, that earlier point, could we run by that again?
And Mr. Thicke, I do have to ask you, when you did the interview that we just played from VH1, were you drunk and on Vicodin?
I didn't do a single interview last year without being high. On both.
Okay. So the answer to my question is yes.
Yes.
By the way, remember his campaign to win his ex-wife Paula back?
Yeah, that was pathetic.
I wonder why she didn't go back with him. He's like such a delightful guy. And finally, and I think this is really my favorite question of the whole testimony.
Do you consider yourself an honest person?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robin Thicke, for your consideration.